Every star above.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Mark Levine reporting to you live from nearby Washington, D.C., all the news the government does not want you to know. With the Iraq War heading into its fifth year, with thousands of American servicemen and women dead, tens of thousands wounded, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis dead, millions exiled, and hundreds of billions of dollars spent, it appears that Americans are forgetting what brought us into that region in the first place. Despite all the invocations of September 11th, it seems that the people who caused September 11th, that group and that country, has grown to be more powerful now than ever before. I'm talking, of course, about Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and Afghanistan. They are more powerful now than at any time since George Bush accidentally let them go at Tora Bora in December 2001. The attacks are increasing, and they found a nice safe haven in the border region of Afghanistan and Pakistan, with Pakistan signing an agreement basically to lay off. In Afghanistan, where we have the least amount of nation building ever in an American post-war conflict, it is going back to Islamicization, going back to the Taliban. Yeah. Attacks are increasing, electricity is minimal, and people are largely relying on opium production. Meanwhile, Al-Qaeda gets more powerful than ever. This isn't just a matter of their audio tapes and videotapes. They're planning terrorist attacks, successful ones in London and Madrid, more that are being foiled in Germany and in Great Britain, and yes, they're planning again to attack the United States. I would argue that our war in Iraq has diverted tremendous and important resources that we could have used to attack bin Laden, and by diverting it, has actually helped him succeed. Also, the Bush administration's policies of torture, holding people in jail without lawyers, without access to a legal system, without really an indefinite detention, extraordinary rendition, sending people abroad to be tortured. All of these things that America is doing is harming us in the great war of ideas that we have against Al-Qaeda as people worldwide consider the United States, at this point, almost no better. So that's the essence of my argument, that George Bush and the way he's conducting the war on terror is actually helping America's enemies, helping Al-Qaeda, helping Osama bin Laden. But this wouldn't be the inside scoop if I just spoke to you and gave you propaganda. I can back up everything I say, but to prove to you that I can back up everything I say, I've invited someone who disagrees with me wholeheartedly and a powerful opponent. His name is Gil Davis. He is a former prosecutor and the former attorney who represented Paula Jones against Bill Clinton. He is a staunch Republican conservative, and I know that he disagrees with what I say, and it is our debate that hopefully you will somehow find the truth. I also encourage you to call in. This is a live television show, and you are welcome to join in the discussion, agree or disagree with Gil or me or both of us. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK. Gil Davis, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks, Mark. Good to see you.
Now, I gave a long opening statement. I want to give you the same opportunity to give the same kind of lengthy opening statement.
Well, just like Republicans often are accused of being naysayers, I just say that I disagree with almost everything you said.
Okay. Do you want to give details, or should we take it piece by piece?
Well, you have a number of things that you said that are certainly at least challengeable and probably not true, at least currently. For example, that Al-Qaeda is stronger than it ever has been.
Since December 2001.
Since 9/11.
Since 9/11, yes.
Well, since 9/11, it has in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and frankly, to some great extent in Pakistan, it has been decimated. In fact, in September of this year, 30 Al-Qaeda leaders, and I'm talking about top tier, A1 leaders in Iraq, have been assassinated. They've been not assassinated, killed. Our troops have killed them. Or, in some instances, in addition to that, we have captured a number of them. If bin Laden is still alive, he has now a choice. His choice is to commit more of his leadership, who can inspire those to commit atrocities, to Iraq, in which case they probably will be meeting a similar fate, or keep them where he has them in Pakistan, in which event they're probably not going to be very useful to that ground war in Iraq that they are so interested in upsetting on our side.
Well, we know that bin Laden's alive. I mean, he's sending out new an impressive number of videotapes and audio tapes like he never has before from his very safe haven in Pakistan. But I agree, he was decimated back at the end of 2001. There was a time when all Americans came from every political stripe supported the war in Afghanistan, and he was on the run at Tora Bora. You know, of course, Gary Bernstein, the CIA operative who begged the administration for just 600 to 800 troops. Think about it, when we have 160,000 in Iraq. Just 600 to 800 men were necessary to capture and to stop Osama bin Laden from crossing over the border to Pakistan. Osama bin Laden literally wrote his last will and testament, which I have a copy of, and of course he escaped. He was in a terrible position there. No,
well, I think that was clearly unfortunate, as well as it was unfortunate when we had that Sheikh Seder captured really and holed up in Fallujah and let him go for political reasons.
Right.
I think those were mistakes.
But if you're arguing they're not powerful, it seems to me that when you give numbers like, oh, they captured 30 jihadists, it strikes.
Or they killed them.
Or they killed them. Terrific. Wonderful.
Not just jihadists, but Al-Qaeda. You said Al-Qaeda.
Fine, Al-Qaeda. To me, the problem is it's like Hercules and the Medusa. For every head we kill off, two grow.
Well,
and the reason for that, let me suggest to you, is precisely because of our war in Iraq, because of our torture policies, because we are losing the war of ideas against this vicious terrorist group.
Well, let me suggest to you why it is that they have lost a great deal of their influence in Iraq. Let's just take Iraq for the moment. The populace has now responded, both in Anbar province and in the Sunni triangle, against them. The tribal chiefs have been much more forthcoming now in rooting them out because they're tired of that violence. And secondly, when we talk about the surge has been going on in additional troops that we've sent, it's really not the number of troops that is causing the difference. It is what they're doing. And instead of, just like you and I, we make commute to work. We don't commute over great distances. But in Iraq, these troops are living in these communities now. They aren't coming outside and coming in when there is some problem to try to solve it. They are now rooted right there, and that is making a significant difference.
Okay, and I want to talk about Afghanistan and Pakistan, but you brought up Iraq. Let's start with Iraq. In Irak, on September 11th, 2001, there was no significant Al-Qaeda presence. If George Bush had not decided to divert all of our resources, or most of our resources, from attacking Al-Qaeda, from attacking Osama bin Laden, from nation-building in Afghanistan, over to this new adventure in Iraq, where Saddam Hussein was successfully keeping Al-Qaeda out, there would be zero Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Ooh. So the extent that there's any Al-Qaeda in Iraq today, that is due to exactly my point. Bush administration missteps invited Al-Qaeda into Iraq where it never was before.
Well, where was it?
It was in Afghanistan.
And also they had some bases undoubtedly in Saudi Arabia. Most of those folks had originally came from there. What we did do, and you're correct in one sense, they did come in because they thought this would be the place where the war is. To them, this is the war.
But they're not just in Iraq. And they're not just Afghanistan and Pakistan.
They're
all over the world today with more power than ever before.
Well, we have not suffered a single deprivation from them since 911 here.
Okay.
They have in other areas.
Yes, where the picking, London had bombings.
Where the pickings are a little easier, and even though we're not up to complete speed yet.
You don't doubt it's going to happen here, do you?
Oh, I think it probably will happen at some point.
Right.
But it hasn't happened because it's more difficult for them.
That's right.
And
but
further,
that doesn't have anything to do with Bush administration policy.
No, but what it does have to do with is the fact that they have only a certain amount of resources. And let's remember this about Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is not some organization existing as a Semitic tribe in a desert. They are supported by states, by governments. They're supported by, I'm sure, Syria, Saudi Arabia. They're supported clearly by Iran.
And they're supported by our ally, Pakistan. Mushar tells us a lot of things, but he gives them pretty free rein in those areas.
We can talk about Pakistan in a moment, because we may have some agreement or disagreement on it. But the point is that these folks rely upon help from the outside in order to do what they do. And they also hope to have, within a country like they are in Iraq, the help of the people. The people now are not responding to them as they were, because they're pretty sick and tired of what they've done.
Whenever the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and they're pretty much connected in a lot of ways, they support a lot of the same things. In fact, now they're pretty much the same people in Pakistan. Whenever they run a country, they run it badly. They people don't like the restrictions that they live under, the murder and the treatment of women and so forth.
When they ran
it in Afghanistan, people were not happy. When they ran it in Iraq, people weren't happy. But the sad thing is that by neglecting Afghanistan, as we're doing now, they're coming back. Afghanistan is under more control of the Taliban in Afghanistan than it was since our invasion of 2001.
Well, that's probably a reason, and I don't subscribe to your entire thesis about that. The government of Afghanistan is still seemingly fairly solid. It certainly is in control of the major cities. It's hard to control an entire country, especially one in which there's so many mountainous regions.
Well, we had more power control over Afghanistan in 2002. If at that time we had devoted our time to nation building, if we had devoted our time, we had 6,000
peacekeeping forces, we decided
to go invade Iraq.
We have built a nation
and
in Iraq.
In Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan.
It's collapsing.
I don't think so. I think you view it because some of those folks in Pakistan are in a sanctuary, and their bases are still there, and it's on the Pakistan soil, of course.
I think it's in Afghanistan too. But I want to get to my caller. We will definitely get into more of this. Let me give George from Fairfax a chance to say his piece. George, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. I just had a couple comments. One of them was reflecting back to George Bush with his comment, let's fight them over there so we don't have to fight them here. If I'm not mistaken, they did find their way to the World Trade Towers.
And they found their way to Great Britain and to Madrid and to Iraq and to Pakistan, and I no doubt eventually they'll find their way back to the United States. You don't really believe
if you're a philosopher, Descartes before Des Horse. The World Trade Center occurred before George Bush was talking about that.
But you don't really believe, or maybe you do, when George Bush says that Iraq will attract the terrorists like moths to a flame. He doesn't use that quote.
To some extent,
is that they'll leave every place in the world and come to Iraq and mow them down. I think that our invasion of Iraq makes us look anti-Muslim, makes us look like the aggressor, and creates more terrorists.
Okay. Well, let's take a fundamental premise, because I think it answers all of this.
You know what? I'm going to ask you to wait on that fundamental premise. Just because we're running out of time, I promise I'll get to it after the break. I'll also get back to George as well. If you want to call in and join in the discussion, you can do it. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, and we're going to hear Gil Davis' fundamental premise right after these words.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last call.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetened star.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Light it up, baby. Come on.
This is the camera here.
Light it up, baby. Come on. Light it up, baby. Come on.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. Few Americans dispute that Al-Qaeda is a threat to the United States after September 11th. Who can doubt it? Few Americans consider us to have a greater enemy than Osama bin Laden. But has George Bush's policies following September 11th actually helped Al-Qaeda or harmed them? At the beginning, clearly it hurt Al-Qaeda. We all supported the war in Afghanistan. Liberal, conservative, left and right came together. But ever since Osama bin Laden was mistakenly let go in December 2001, they've gotten more and more and more powerful, from the brink of ruin to, I would argue, the most powerful they've ever been since 2001. And I would argue that George Bush's policies have caused Al-Qaeda to be that powerful. Gil, before the break, you had the fundamental premise that I had to interrupt you. So
well,
please,
well,
let me
make one other comment.
All right,
not what you just said. You said that George Bush let him go in 2001. Do you give that credit also to Bill Clinton, who had him in the gun sights and was playing golf and wouldn't tell them to go ahead and smoke him?
Well, what happened, my understanding is that we bombed his actual training center in Afghanistan and missed him by a few hours.
Yeah, this was another time.
Just that was before September 11th.
Right.
We had not declared war. We didn't have the whole American country behind us. And it's not like you have him trapped in a cave with a bunch of men around him. We had to send a cruise missile that just barely missed him.
Yeah, but that's a different circumstance in which the CIA, on another occasion, let the government know that we have him. We've got him. We know exactly where he is. We see him. We can see him. Can we kill him? And the president would not be bothered with the issue.
I haven't heard that story, but because my understanding is we did bomb him and we just missed him by a few hours.
Well, that was
I, you know what, I truly doubt that, Gil. But
well, I promise you that's what happened.
We will look it up in the break and we'll see if we can find
out. But
that
now
story.
My fundamental premise, though, it goes along with some of what you said. Osama bin Laden was not invented on 9/11. He was there planning. He struck the World Tower before in the
waited
early
90s.
That's right, planned. He Cobra Towers, the embassies in Africa, the coal. You have all of these things,
and
we just were not awake as a people yet until, of course, we had that horrendous event on 9/11. But the point is, it's not George Bush who is.
You recall that when Clinton bombed Afghanistan, it was your party that said he's just trying to take the focus off of Monica Lewinsky. They strongly condemned our attacks in Afghanistan in 98. The Republicans did. I think Clinton would have done more if he didn't have so much Republican attack, saying, you're just trying to take the attention off of Monica.
So he didn't do his duty because he was under attack.
You know, there was only so much when you're not, when the American people have not figured out what's going on, there's only so much the president can do.
Well, that...
Should he have declared war after the Khobar Towers? I don't know. Maybe you're saying.
Well, I'm not saying declare war, but
it takes to uproot some of the.
Well, we have a war on terror. I'm not sure that that's a proper way to describe it. We have a.
Go back to your fundamental premise. I don't know that we ever got that.
All right. The premise simply is that we were in a fight before 9/11.
Yes.
And that fight was not, and George Bush didn't create the fight. Nor did he expand it, unless you would say we should have just resigned we abstained from doing anything about it.
No, Gil. No one is arguing that we shouldn't have gone into Afghanistan. I've said on this program this today several times. Everyone in America, 99.9% of us, supported the war in Afghanistan. What I'm saying is that when we went to Iraq, we diverted resources from Afghanistan. We diverted men. We diverted spies. We diverted resources, money, nation building, all of our energy into Iraq, and thus not only did it help us in Afghanistan, it created a bad situation in Iraq.
What evidence do you have that says we diverted resources that we could have used there and did not feel we had sufficient ones? In other words, that we sent people and material and weapons to Iraq, and we left Afghanistan without any help.
We left 6,000
troops. The Taliban were across the border mostly into Pakistan.
Right.
Now they're coming back.
We diverted missile firing Predators, satellites, the 5th Special Forces Group, which specializes in the Middle East. Hundreds of billions of dollars, according to Bob Woodward's book, Plan of Attack. In late November 2001, even before the Battle of Tora Bora, Bush asked the Pentagon to start looking at invading in Iraq. This is November of 2001. General Tommy Branstad was incredulous. How can they be in the middle of a war with Afghanistan and be planning one in Iraq?
What is your evidence that that Iraq compromised the effort in Afghanistan? It may have been a mistake that the government made, our government.
What is my evidence?
In not having sufficient resources to keep them from coming back.
Yeah. We have a limited military. We have only so many servicemen and women around the globe. We took so many troops out of Afghanistan after that war. We left 6,000 there. That is smaller than we left anywhere, whether it's Bosnia or Grenada, any post-war deployment in a country that is 50% larger than Iraq.
These were mostly special forces, Mark. These are those people who believe that they're an army of one. Well, we did engage in nation building. They have a nation built. They have a leader. They have a government. There's no question about that. And of course they're going to be under attack, and of course we need to continue to support them.
As Lieutenant General David Barno, then I'm going to get back to George and Fairfax. Lieutenant General David Barno, the commanding general in Afghanistan in 2003, has said, quote, nation building was explicitly not part of the formula. 6,000 troops. We have 160,000 in Iraq. Now, you know this, Gil, and I know this, but a lot of people don't know this.
You're talking about a strategy, not an inability to do it.
It was the wrong strategy, and it was an inability. We created a war in Iraq.
I don't think we had an inability to do what we needed to do.
On the line. Larry in Tyson's Corner, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark.
Yes.
My question to you is, if you're going to talk all the time, does anybody else get to answer your questions? Do you give them time to respond?
Larry, what's your response?
My response is I'd at least like to hear two people's response to a question and not just your side or viewpoint of any particular thing you're talking about.
I invited Gil on so that he could give a response. Do you have a response, Larry?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I would like
all
to hear somebody. You try to cut people off.
I have nothing to say, right, Larry? Do you have anything to say?
Change your format.
Okay. Gil, is there anything that I've cut you off, prevented you from saying that you'd like to say?
Oh, I decline to answer on the grounds of the...
No, go ahead. I'm not sure how I've cut you off. Tell me the point that I have not let you say.
Well, let me say this,
okay,
because I think it's important. The question really is today, what do we do, regardless of where we came and how we got to this spot that we are in today? all wars are wars that you have things that go right and things that don't go right. Is it worthwhile to continue to support both Afghanistan and Iraq in their governmental processes and fight the battles that are going on there now until they've been sufficiently won that we can withdraw?
Let me suggest to you that this, I think, is a Republican strategy that's often used. It's, let's not see how we got there. Let's only explore where we're going.
Well, I don't disagree that it's useful to see what mistakes we may have made so that we don't repeat them.
Exactly.
There's no question about that. But the question really now is, and then this is my view, I mean, it may or may not be yours, I don't think there is an issue more important for the survival of our nation and of our children and of our American people than what happens in the Middle East, where we are right now in Iraq.
In Iraq. Disagree. I think what happens in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
I don't mean it exclusively in Iraq. I don't mean it exclusively. It's all a part of a piece.
Let's take this.
If Iraq collapsed, what would be the result? You have a Shia population that is right up against Iran, an Iranian country run by the mullahs who are Talibanic in their actions, at least. What do you think is going to happen to them? They are going to be a part of that.
There will be a continual civil war in Iraq like the one that we're trying to
have. I think
the Sunnis will fight the Shia. The Shia will fight the
Shia. The Sunnis will get creamed. The Sunnis will be left out because who knows what they'll do?
But the
Sunnis ruled the Shias, and there's a lot of resentment of that among the majority Shia population. The Sunnis do not have any oil reserves. The only ones that have oil are the Shias in the south, and the Kurds in the north.
Gil, if you, we could have a debate it, on Iraq. I mean, I'm happy to do that. But it seems to me that you're conceding my original point.
No, I'm not conceding anything.
Iraq has made al-Qaeda extremely powerful, and now, if you will, George Bush is basically like a boy that's been bitten by a bear and hits a beehive with a bat. Now he has two problems. He's so angry the bear bit him that he hits the beehive, and now he says, focus on the beehive, ignore the bear. All right? I'm happy to focus on the beehive of Iraq. I've done a number of shows on Iraq.
My point is
the bear is stronger because we're fighting the beehive.
So it's an academic discussion.
We still have the bear. We still have problems with Afghanistan.
So if that's the case, then it is pertinent, not only as to how we got here, but what we do now.
I agree. It is pertinent. But my point is that I don't want to just focus on the crisis that George Bush created that didn't exist.
Do you agree? Let's take what you want to focus on, which is Al Qaeda has become a huge polar bear sized problem from maybe a little pussycat.
It was a bear. No, my point is we had to focus on this.
Okay.
It was a real danger.
Okay.
And we didn't focus.
Then
and it's grown.
Okay. The premise that you have about Al Qaeda as being the big bear now and the bugaboo.
Far more than Saddam Hussein, certainly.
Well, how about a Hezbollah and Hamas and
that's a third threat.
They're sort of in the same bag because they all have the same interest. Their enemies are.
We have to take another break. George from Fairfax has called back. I know he's going to want to say a few cents. We will get all of your calls in. I do want to hear from you. 888-488-MARS, 888-488-6275. I promise to give Gil a chance to speak as well. We'll be right back after this.
Some people in Fairfax County don't know what public access means.
Some think it's just another channel on the dial.
But it's much more than that.
It's the voice of the people.
People like you.
Your neighbors, your friends.
Or your family.
People who want to share ideas.
Opinions.
Cultures. Lifestyles.
Art.
Sports.
Music.
Events. Entertainment.
History.
Science.
Beliefs.
People who want to learn about television.
Producing.
Directing.
Cameras.
Audio.
Lighting.
Editing. Or radio. Talk. Music.
Whatever you think people should hear.
Public access is the place where everyone has a voice.
And it's the place where that voice gets heard.
A place where you can create your own form of personal expression.
So what do you want to say?
Whatever it is.
You can say it here.
Because we're public access.
for the people,
by the people. It is about balancing our choices between the gray of the concrete jungle and the stunning beauty of the real one, between a stoic facade of granite and the fury of the canyon. It's why there's EarthShare, the simple way to find balance. EarthShare is the workplace giving program bringing the leading environmental groups under one umbrella. Support EarthShare, support them all. EarthShare. Please ask your employer about workplace giving. To learn more, visit our website. Thousands of kids in this country have everything it takes to go to college. Except the money. The United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest, conservative Republican Gil Davis, and I, former congressional Democrat, definitely agree that Iraq is a problem. We may disagree on what to do with the situation in Iraq, but in my view, it's like George Bush hit a beehive that was relatively quiescent and made it into a huge problem that it is today. My fear is that we're forgetting the original problem to begin with. The people who murdered 3,000 innocent Americans on September 11th, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, that I would argue, due to Bush's strategy, is more powerful now than it has ever been before. George from Fairfax has called back. He has another point he wants to make. Go ahead, George.
Well, actually, a couple little things. If you expect to do any nation in building in Afghanistan, you've got a serious uphill problem. You also have a serious uphill problem with credibility. When you have this administration passing legislation, clear skies, clean water, healthy forests, what did they do? Pollute and cut down the trees. Aside from that, you challenge Mark to brevity. This administration is known to be the most secretive administration ever. They won't release tapes. They won't even retain the emails that would show what's been happening. But the worst part about it, I think, you're more concerned about the Sunnis. What's happening in this country right now? We have a tyranny. When you have propaganda coming from this administration with regards to things like, let's go back to the marriage tax penalty, most people didn't realize you had to make at least $200,000 a year before it affects you. And people on the street working at McDonald's said, we got to stop that. But one more is this propaganda now that's coming out with respect to the AMT. 80% of the population probably have never even heard of it. It only affects the wealthiest for the next 20 years. It will still affect only the very wealthiest in this country.
I appreciate your calls. I appreciate your comments. I'm really striving to stay on topic, whether it's Gil trying to talk about Iraq or you talking about the marriage tax. Let me take your point, though, which is that when you have an administration being so secretive, where it is, and this does connect to Al-Qaeda, not letting us know all that's going on, and frankly, our policies that are losing support around the world. America used to be a beacon, city on a hill, Tiananmen Square, the Chinese students raised the Statue of Liberty, but now what are we known for? Torture, unlawful surveillance, extraordinary rendition, putting people in prison without giving them access to lawyers or trials. There's a war going on of ideas for Muslims around the globe. And let me suggest to you that as awful as Al-Qaeda is, we are creating more jihadists around the world because we are doing so many awful things that they're actually turning to Al-Qaeda.
I guess waterboarding is on the par with cutting off people's heads?
No, but it's a terrible thing. And what it does is it encourages people who might not be supportive of Al-Qaeda to say they're both terrible.
Well, there are several points that I'm trying to
go right ahead.
See what you said. One, you had secrecy. That was what George was talking about.
Right.
Number two is that we are a I guess George used the word tyranny. That we are a tyranny because we have other than the policy things that he's talking about, the torture and Abu Ghraib. Which Abu Ghraib almost was hardly worse than a fraternity's hazing compared to what is going on with the with Al Qaeda and others.
You don't have to convince me that America is better than Al Qaeda, but you do have to convince the rest of the world.
Oh, well, I understand. That's your point. That we have some public policy opinion question that is harming us, perhaps because others think that we
can give you polls if you want to see.
Well, you know, a war is not a cake walk. It's tough business, and secrecy is inherent, especially in this area, where in order to infiltrate cells, in order to conduct the covert operations, we can't just have that spread across the New York Times. However,
saying, Gil, that we have to give the names of our spies.
The New York Times gave away methods of catching these people
because they're illegal. Gil.
Well, I don't think they're illegal at all, and there's been no court decision saying that it's illegal to have mail cover on foreign mail that comes in to people
Supreme Court says it is illegal to take the people in Guantanamo Bay and consider them not part of U.S. territory. We can do whatever.
Oh no, that's not what
they
the New York Times.
They should have to follow the Geneva Convention.
The New York Times exposed
reading their mail,
listening to the conversations between people on the in other countries, and talking to folks
really
here.
Do you really think Al Qaeda didn't figure out that we were possibly reading their mail and listening into conversations? Every prisoner in America that I'm aware of, they read the prisoner's mail.
I'm not talking about the prisoners. I'm talking about as a policy generally.
Right. I have no problem with saying we shouldn't expose legal things we do that help
now,
us on the
now,
world.
Now,
I don't expose the illegal.
But let's we have what you're talking about is what you've mentioned is Gitmo, where people were not allowed to even see a lawyer, challenge the question of whether they should be allowed to contest their certification as a terrorist. The important thing about our country is there are ways to test that. And I fully disagreed with the shutting off of counsel and of challenging the designation as a terrorist when these people then could be just kept for the length of the war. How long is the war going to take place? You know, 100 years,
right.
200 years, probably. And that was tested. One of my very dear friends, who's unfortunately dead now of a brain tumor, but was the public defender in the Eastern District of Virginia, former law partner of mine, and also a colleague in the U.S. Attorney's Office, took the case, won two cases in the Supreme Court that said they must be allowed to challenge, they must have a lawyer, and they must be allowed to challenge
that.
And the point is that our country has a process in which if the executive overreaches, and the king always tries to get back power.
I'm not attacking America. I'm not attacking the fact that
you're saying
I'm saying the Bush administration has chosen tactics. After all, we didn't do this to the Nazis. As bad as Al Qaeda terrorists are, I don't know.
Oh, we locked up the Japanese Americans
in the
Second World War.
We took Nazi war. And we treated them humanely as prisoners of war.
Oh, I don't think. Do you think that we treated these people inhumanely?
Yes, I do.
What did we do to them?
Okay, waterboarding, inhumane, leaving people simulated drowning. I think that leaving people in cold weather, naked in a cell for days on end without food, while slapping them in the face. Yes, I think that's inhumane. John Hughes' memo said anything that's not organ failure is not torture. So in his memo, I don't know all we've done. George mentioned.
Well, but the things that you've just mentioned, I have never heard that fact that they were
New York Times article. Oh,
a New York Times article. Give me something that's reliable.
It is reliable. Quoting CIA documents, the point was that the CIA came and said, "Do you consider these things inhumane and degrading?" And the president, in his wonderful signing statement in McCain's torture law, said, "No, you can keep going ahead and doing these things." Here's what they allowed. They allowed.
The president said, are you saying that the president said it's all right to leave people without food or water in the cold for days?
For days.
And he said, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, he said that's not torture.
Okay, you point that out to me.
I will point that out to you in the break, all right?
All right.
I will definitely show that to you. Here's my larger point, though. My larger point is that we don't have to conduct the war this way to win it. I can name you expert after expert that will tell you that the best way to get high-level intelligence is not to torture someone.
Oh, I agree with that, Mark.
You trick them.
Absolutely.
You become their friends. Okay, so you agree that it's counterproductive.
I think in most instances it probably is counterproductive.
I think it is too, and it's not only counterproductive for the terrorists, but for world opinion.
And the reason that it matters, and I think that brings us back to the point that you want to discuss tonight, is what is the most effective way for us to deal with the Al Qaeda and terrorist situation, and one of them is. World public opinion.
And that matters, and
of course it matters. But let me say to you the two things that really matter, most matter. One is where we are engaged with boots on the ground, the effectiveness of our tactics and the strategies that we use are critically important.
Absolutely.
And that's
why I want to talk about Pakistan.
We'll get there. A lot of that, we could have the greatest soldiers in the world, but if they don't have really top-notch leadership, they're not going to be effective in the carrying out of that policy.
Right.
Secondly, in order to carry out that mission as a long mission, which it probably is, and not necessarily just in Iraq, I think this is something that you and I will face the rest of our lives. I'm older than you, so it'll be longer for you to have to face it. Public opinion in this country and how it supports whatever we are doing. If you look back on Vietnam, and of course you were.
I was not politically aware when we were in Vietnam.
Well, I did go through that, and the reason that it was a terrible trauma for this country.
Right.
A great debate and great disagreement among people.
And I think Iraq's hidden.
Well, we can discuss whether that's true or not. But here's the thing that is important for us to remember as our tool to win the ultimate battle. Vietnam to the French. Even though they did lose a battle at Dien Bien Phu, they really lost that Indochina on the streets of Paris. We lost Vietnam on the streets of Washington, and we never lost a single battle, including Tet.
Let me take this point from you, if I can. Because I agree, but here's my point: this country was united after September 11th. Like I have never seen this country be united. Democrats and liberals were supporting our President George Bush. They practically forgot that the Supreme Court had installed them 8 months before. They remembered later. They put all that aside. And the Congress.
That election was
together.
Not stolen. That's
it
a command. Well, all right.
But Congress came together. They sang God Bless America. No one complained about my pet goat. People were standing behind this president.
In this
and
country,
they supported the war in Afghanistan worldwide.
In this country, there
are... Paris, France. We are all Americans now.
Who's the one that said that I didn't get a chance to say anything?
But you agree that the whole world, everyone was supportive.
Look.
After that, everyone supported the war in Afghanistan.
Well, of course. And I congratulate them. But here you have...
Iraq changed.
Here you have people calling the president a liar.
Yes,
yeah, people
was.
Call.
Well,
I don't believe he did, but I think that's. I think it's way, way over the top. There is no reason to think in a democracy that you're not going to have robust debate. You're always going to have robust debate.
But my
point
is, the policy took us out of this unanimity.
We are in danger of losing this war if we don't.
The Iraqi war.
I'm talking about the Iraqi war. And frankly, the war on terror. If we can't send any troops overseas on occasions when they are really needed, and that includes maybe Iran at some point and maybe soon, where are we today on public opinion? I want to share something that I saw today. I think it is public opinion is crucial to carrying out a policy that has been controversial. Right now, where is the American people? Harris has been polling this for the whole last 5 years. And let me give you these statistics. In March of this year, on the question, are things getting better in Iraq? 13% said they were. 20% in August, 25% now. Are things getting worse? That's the second part of the question. 55% in January, yes, 51 now, and 32%. Excuse me, 51 in March and 32% now. So I think we're coming together a little bit.
We have to go to a break. Let me suggest to you that on Afghanistan, there is unanimity, and that's where our focus should be. But we'll come back with more of the Inside Scoop right after.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh, hey, mister. Studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last call.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweet nectar.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. If you want to join the raucous debate between myself and Attorney Gil Davis, conservative Republican who represented Paula Jones, I encourage you to do so. In fact, it's your last chance to do so. All you have to do is call toll-free 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Gil, I definitely want to get to Pakistan. Before I get there, just real quickly, you were citing opinion polls that show increasing support for the war in Iraq. Here's my general point.
And I think it's because there is some success on the ground, too. I think it's a synergistic thing.
Here's my point. Whatever you think about the war in Iraq, whatever you thought about it in 02, 03, all the way up through 07, there's always been some controversy there. Whereas 99% of Americans supported us in the war in Afghanistan. Tommy Franks was incredulous when George Bush said in November 01, let's draw up plans for invading Iraq. He said, why aren't we finishing the job here? And I want to ask you Tommy Frank's question. Why couldn't we have finished the job, rooted al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan, before we ever took on a 6th, 7th, 8th level threat like Saddam Hussein?
I don't think we thought of it as a 6th, 7th, or 8th level threat at the time.
In hindsight, you think it's true now?
I don't think that they were very far along on rebuilding their nuclear facility after the Israelis had knocked it out before. But they had gassed their people. They used chemical stuff, and we knew that, and that was clearly the case.
Yeah, we sold them some of that, so we said we knew it.
And the guy was hiding the ball. Now he may have been doing that, ironically, not to hide a program, perhaps as it turned out. But we don't know that for sure.
Well, don't you think he just finished the job in Afghanistan?
But if he had nuclear, that would and he was hiding the ball on that. That was a serious matter and one that had to be dealt with. And the only way really to deal with that guy was to take him out. Now, was our policy to establish a democracy there and to let these folks decide how they're going to construct their government? Was that a wise thing? I think that's clearly debatable. I happen to think that that may not have been a very wise thing.
Let me suggest to you that America would be safer today with Saddam Hussein in power and Al-Qaeda out of Iraq the way it was back in 2000, 2001, and 2002, and all of our forces focused on Afghanistan and, yes, that border area of Pakistan than we are today with all our troops in Iraq. And I want to talk about Pakistan, because General Musharraf is our wonderful ally, George Bush tells us. He is a dictator, and I realize there are elements that are worse than he. I recognize that. And yet, for $10 billion that we've given to Pakistan, what do we receive for it? Musharraf has basically said, oh, we'll leave you alone in the border regions. It is largely due to Pakistan that we have the resurgence of Al-Qaeda. And let me suggest to you that we need more troops, even if they have to come from Iraq, more troops, more spies, more people on the ground, more special forces, looking not just into Afghanistan, but into Pakistan, so we can finally bring bin Laden to justice, dead or alive.
It's a serious matter to invade another country or to invade their sovereignty. Musharraf has, yes, he is a military guy who has functioned pretty much as you have said, as a dictator in that nation. When he goes, if he's toppled, and there's a lot of unrest there now, as you probably know, what's going to follow? The guy has turned over a lot of terrorists to us, not those in the tribal regions in the 1,400 mile border that they seem to have a sanctuary, but those that have been caught elsewhere. Why not the tribal regions? Because he has his own problems, even within his own army, of people who are sympathetic to the Taliban or the fundamental radical Islamists.
Let's make a deal with Musharraf.
Well, I think what's happening is...
We won't go into the main area of Pakistan, but the tribal regions where you've pulled out, where you'll send forces in.
Well, he can't survive allowing that to happen unless he is a part of it.
I think he can. Well, make him a part of it. I'm not saying overthrow Musharraf.
That's his problem. His problem is that he can be assassinated very easily. We have brokered a deal with Benazir Bhutto to have kind of a joint government
and
there.
She's and a lot more democratic than he is.
Absolutely, and it sort of transitions him away from being the military commander and the leader of the country to being the president of the country, and she'd become prime minister, assuming that her people get elected I'm not sure what they call it, their legislature. But here she came to be protected as she entered back into the country, having been under a ban of coming back since she had criminal charges.
And I think that's great.
But when she got there and they bombed her caravan,
right,
and killed 150
right
people, so right, approximately.
But
it's a very volatile and dangerous thing.
Volatile.
And here's the thing we have to remember: Pakistan is not Iraq, it is not Afghanistan, it's not even yet Iran. It is a nuclear power.
Right.
And that in the hands of the wrong people there will pose an incredibly greater threat
than the one we're facing now. But let me suggest to you that the world, including the Arab world, including the Muslim world, understands the difference between self-defense and an aggressive attack. When we went into Afghanistan, it wasn't just the French that supported us. You know, might surprise people, the Germans that supported us. Saudi Arabia supported us. There were newspapers throughout the Arab world. No one really complained except the Taliban and maybe Sudan about our attack into Afghanistan, because people understood we were responding. They attacked us in New York and Washington. We responded.
Well, are you suggesting that we should attack the tribal areas in Pakistan?
I think that we should send special... With the concurrence of Musharraf. Musharraf, in November 2005, asked Donald Rumsfeld to send special forces to go after troops in Pakistan, and he said no because he was worried about the stability of Musharraf's government. Let me suggest to you, Musharraf knows more about the stability of his government than we do, and if he thinks it's okay, we should be going in there.
Well, but he has a little deal right now with them
breaking that deal.
Well,
the terrorists are breaking the deal. He has
to come to that conclusion, and he may come to it. But here's the problem: if we go in unilaterally, that is a prescription for a huge American bloodbath. When we send a bunch of troops over there, we can't get conventional tanks and things in those mountainous regions. We're going to have conventional
special forces.
And a lot of them, because we're talking about a 1,400-mile border of tribal area where these people are harboring, and some of them now are intermarried with Al Qaeda folks.
Partly, you need better spies, better intelligence.
Well, but what
we had very few spies in Pakistan, even in the last 6 years. We have at least from what the CIA is telling us. I hope they're doing a misinformation campaign, and we have lots of spies there.
Well, but I think we probably have a better situation than we did. We didn't have anybody that even spoke, very few people that spoke Arabic.
But my point is that, well, and it's Pashtun, I believe, in Pakistan. But the point is that by diverting all of these resources to Iraq, by hitting the beehive when we should have been confronting the bear, we are letting the bear grow, and it's not just Pakistan. Afghanistan,
well, your thesis that the beehive was quiescent, you use that term.
Right. They stung us from time to time,
but
it was a bee sting. Oh. It was not a nuclear bomb.
Well, wait,
as we mix metaphors.
Cobra towers, the coal, all
that
of these.
That wasn't Saddam Hussein at all.
You're talking about Al Qaeda.
No. To me, Al Qaeda is the bear, and Iraq is the beehive. At least get my metaphor right.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the Al Qaeda.
At least understand my metaphor.
Okay.
Al Qaeda is the bear.
They're dangerous.
Bit us. I want to go after the bear. And to me, little Georgie Bush is going around hitting beehives, meaning Saddam Hussein.
I see. Okay. Well, I thought you were saying they stirred up the bees, and that brought these bees in to fight our.
My argument is that we broke the beehive, which was Iraq, and then all the bees escaped, and we had instead of a few bees stinging us, we had a swarm. That's at least my.
Well, we killed almost all of their leadership, Saddam's leadership.
But that doesn't matter. We went out of the frying pan into the fire, killing Saddam's leadership. Killing 50 terrorists and creating 10,000 more is not a recipe for success.
Well, are you saying that we created 10,000 indigenous terrorists rather than importing them? All right, so who is imported? Weren't they Al Qaeda?
They were Al Qaeda. They were also Iran.
All right, so your metaphor includes Al Qaeda.
But Iraq, my beehive, didn't have any bear in it. Yeah, the bear took his swipe of honey, as I go through the metaphor. The bear took his swipe, yes, he used the bees once they were out, but he wasn't involved in the beehive before we hit it. My point is that by cracking open Iraq, we took a severe danger to America, which was Al-Qaeda, and we multiplied it 2, 3, 5, 10-fold. And now you're right. We do have a very difficult situation.
Well, I think it's one of the reasons that you hear a lot of rhetoric from Hezbollah, from Ahmadinejad. I never can pronounce his name exactly right. Ahmadinejad. Is because we have boots on the ground in the Middle East. They don't like it.
Do you disagree? By taking out Iraq, which was their primary enemy, we have increased both Iran's power and Al-Qaeda's power.
I don't think we've increased their power.
We had a balance of power before we went in. Right? Saddam
Hussein. Oh, you're talking about the Iraq and Iran.
Saddam Hussein and Iran were not friends.
Correct. Well, they had a war.
And they were, in many ways, stopping Iran from its power. By taking out this balance of power, by taking out Saddam Hussein, they increased Iran's power and Al-Qaeda's power.
No, we provide that balance now, so long as we're there.
I'd rather Saddam Hussein do it. I'd rather Iraqi troops do it. I'd rather American troops not do it.
I think it's important for us to have a free Iraq.
And I think the dreams.
These are the bees of the pollen that got my allergies going.
I think it's a pipe dream. I really think
it's a pipe dream.
We can go invade a country and create freedom. To pretty much destroy a country like Japan and Germany.
The mistake we made is not treating Iraq as we did Japan after the Second World War, where we saved their emperor. But that was MacArthur. MacArthur was the proconsul there. He was the government. He established the country, and he didn't allow them to pick and choose whether they'd what resources they'd share with anybody.
We're going to have to end this debate, Gil. I appreciate you coming here on the Inside Scoop.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. And I hope one day, in my view, we get a new president who will put Al Qaeda as the first priority. After all, they're the ones that murdered 3,000 Americans. So we'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop next week. Tune in, 6:30. Don't miss Inside Scoop.
Yeah, good job.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, following nighttime Cup of Joe. We'll take a look at the king, Elvis Presley.
The first car I ever bought was the most beautiful car I've ever seen. It was secondhand, but I parked it outside of my hotel the day I got it. I sat up all night just looking at it.
Be there this Thursday on Foxed Up at his new time, 12 midnight, right here on the Head On Radio Network, and find out what happened to that car.
I say, oh, meet me in a hurry behind the bars. Don't you be afraid that I'll do you no harm. I want you to bring along my rocking shoes, cause tonight I'm going to rock away.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
This is the Quality News Network. Ahead of schedule, the U.S. military is beginning to pare down its troops in Iraq. The current total of 20 combat troops will shrink to 19 because the 3rd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division is preparing to leave. The total number of troops is expected to shrink from 167,000 to 140,000 in July. In Baghdad, Iraq's Prime Minister says sectarian violence has dropped by 77% from this time last year. The general commanding U.S. forces says support from regular Iraqis will keep terrorism low in the capital city. Former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto will not hold a planned protest today. She's been placed under house arrest for the second time in 4 days. The protest by Bhutto was aimed to pressure President Pervez Musharraf to end the state of emergency and step down as Army Chief. A Fatah rally for Yasser Arafat turned deadly when gunfire killed at least 6 people and wounded 80 today in Gaza. More than 200,000 supporters of the defeated faction in the Hamas-ruled Gaza Strip attended the rally. Nigerian authorities arrested a group of suspected al-Qaeda terrorists in northern Nigeria today. Police say the suspects carried bomb-making materials. In September, U.S. officials warned Nigeria that it was at risk of a terrorist attack. In San Francisco, the Coast Guard has opened a criminal investigation into last